This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. With the all-important Sunbury Motors Guarantee, they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. And a great service department that backs it all up. Makes it really one-stop shopping. Because between quick lane inspections, routine, difficult to handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Hello, Todd. How are you today?
I am doing well. Good. The wife's car in the quick lane today, in fact.
Oh, well done. Outstanding. See? Right on cue.
I know. Nailed it.
Huh? Boy. You can tell everybody how great it is.
Exactly.
Basketball opener, by the way, is tonight with Binghamton. And then UBMC is here on Friday. And the interesting part about that is that Jim Ferry, in my opinion, did a terrific job as the interim head coach during the COVID year. We'll bring his team back here on Friday night. All right. People don't want to talk about that right now. They do want to talk about football. All right. So, bottom line is you got to find six yards. You got to find six yards. 3 yards at the end of the first half, where Igbignosen, by the way, makes a great play. Let's give credit where credit's due. And 3 yards in the fourth quarter. You got to be able to find it. Okay. And there are other differences in the game. That happened to be a couple of them right there. Pretty simple. You can simplify the game, but there's a bunch that goes into it. So let's get into the, quote, bunch that goes into it. In a game like that, okay? I think you can't really have a game where in the end Tyler Warren's your leading rusher and Nick Singleton your leading receiver. It's got to be flipped, right? So, I mean, that's one. Number two, people can discuss play calls and what need to do, but look, you need to knock somebody off the ball. You got to knock somebody off the ball when you're in that spot. Okay. Next, even after the goal line stand, you got a team at the 1 yard line, and when they ran the quarterback sneak and got out to the five, I looked over at Jack like, oh, that is not good, because that's exact number one. That's the exact play I expected. That's the play I expected, Todd. I expected them to run a quarterback sneak there. I mean, you can't risk getting a safety. You get a safety, now it's 20 to 15. Now you got to kick the ball away on a free kick from the 20-yard line. Now the door's open. That just a six-point play, just a touchdown puts you in front. You don't even need the extra point. But when they ran that and then boom, and they pounded out, I mean, let's give credit where credit's due. That was a championship type of drive that Ohio State put together there and ran out the last 4.5 to 5 minutes. I mean, credit where credit's due on a play like that. I thought Drew played well in the game. And overall, those two teams, two heavyweights, went toe-to-toe. And I know people want to talk about the officiating. I will tell you right away that a play that James did not turn in to the Big Ten office, he did not turn in the taunting play. And I don't mean the Jalen Reed one. I mean the Elliott Washington one. He did not turn it in. And the reason is this, that by the letter of the law, they would have told him, he said, well, by the letter of the book, I mean, you know, you call that. Now, so it would have been a worthless exercise for him to turn it in, so he didn't do it. My opinion is this. Number one, I wanted to ask people who were on the sideline near the play, hey, did he say something? What did he do? And they said, Steve, he didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. I said, okay. Because somebody said he did the drag across. Like, okay, let's use some common sense here for a second. Elliott Washington's on the field playing defense, right? Tate catches, slips and falls, and then Washington goes down with him. Now it's fourth down. Well, what does Washington now need to do? He's on the punt unit. He's got to go back out on the field. He's not going to the sideline because somebody... He's on the punt unit. He's one of his jobs is to block and or cover the gunner. So he stepped over him. And I said, well, he looked down at him. He says, yeah, he looked down at him because he didn't want to step on him. Like, oh, jeez. So James did not turn it in. But let me say that... that it is a feel for the game call. That if you have a feel for the game, you don't call that. The official who made the call did not have a feel for the game. Like, just did not. In any way, shape, or form. Zero. Sorry. Yeah. That's just the bottom line. Technically, by the rule, is it correct? Yeah, well, how many games do we watch during the course of the week where we see the same thing and nothing's called? I mean, I'm telling you, you know the best way to officiate that play? You want to know the best way to officiate that play? Just walk over to him and say, hey, look, careful, don't do that again. Just like when guys line up, when guys line up at receivers, the officials want you to look at them and say, hey, look, yeah, you're fine, you're on, you're off. They want that communication. Well, the communication goes both ways. Right? Hey, careful. Right? Instead, he just threw the flag. Like, oh, what are you doing here? And see, that's the issue I have with it. It was the lack of feel for the game that really bothered me. On that play, because feel for the game says you don't make that call there. You don't. That aside, replay got involved in the game in crazy ways, but some were very positive. First of all, replay did a great job. Igbignosen makes a great play on the interception. I mean, not a good play. He makes a great play. And replay confirmed he made a great play. Because the call in the field, I think, was incomplete, right?
Are we talking about the interception in the end zone?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incomplete.
Incomplete. And replay confirmed that, hey, you know what? He picked it off. He had that foot down on the ground, too. That was a great play by him.
Well, honestly, I think his reaction might have convinced them to look at it, because in real time, it looked like the, it looked like he just, you know, was trying to get away with something. You know what I mean? Hey, look, I caught it. And then they played the replay. I was like, oh, wait, maybe he did catch it.
Right. Well, and the entire bench for Ohio State, too. They were like, hey, we got it. We got it. And you watch him, you're like, you know what? He made a great play. On the Howard play, where Zaki Wheatley comes over and knocks it away and gets it through the end zone. Replay again. Great job. Comes up with the right plays. About a yard and a half out when he lost it, it went over the pylons, a touchback. Great.
My biggest question on that one is how the guy that made the touchdown call saw that as a touchdown.
If you look at the
replay, Steve, he's looking right at the play. The ball is clearly out at the two.
Yeah.
What are you looking at, brother?
Did Howard's foot hit the pylon?
The ball is out before anybody got to the goal line.
Right, I understand.
Yeah, something hit the pylon, like his knee or his...
And sometimes that becomes a judgment for them when they're looking at it like that. I mean, I think I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Replay, though, was able to back up that it was a touchback. And so I don't have problems with calls in the field, Todd, when you have the ability to correct it. That's fine. It's a bang-bang thing, and I get it.
I feel like if I can tell right away on the TV screen exactly what the call should be, then somebody standing 3 inches away from it ought to be able to get it right.
Right. But again, I don't have a problem with
it. No, they got it right eventually.
They got it right. Yeah. So, right. The Wallace catch, or lack thereof, it's called a catch on the field. I can't tell, Todd, at all. Because what happens when I'm looking at the replay, and we have both the stadium monitor and we have the TV monitor in the booth, okay? And I always felt like the best view of it was from the field level from the end zone. Well, the problem with the field level from the end zone is as he's in the process of going to the ground with this thing, an Ohio State player goes by. And I couldn't tell. And they must have seen something that I couldn't see because it was called a catch. And they must have seen the ball hit the ground. But I couldn't see it. So it's like I can't really make a judgment on that.
Well, I do know watching on TV that Mike Pereira thought that there wasn't enough evidence to overturn it, and then they kind of discussed that they have no idea why they overturned it because, according to them, they had all the same views that the replay official did.
Okay.
And I don't know how he's. I mean, I'm not sure if he caught it or not, but I don't know how you could be telling the replays how you could be sure. So,
again, when I'm looking at it. You're looking at this view. It's always like the end zone view. Because the other ones I couldn't tell. And I thought, well, this will be the one. And I'm watching it, and an Ohio State player goes running by. And you're like, okay, I can't see the ball.
No, and you never saw the ball at the end of the front view either because it goes back underneath his body.
Right. So. Right. But that was my viewpoint of, I thought it might be Stans is called because I just couldn't tell. Because, again, when the Ohio State player goes running by, I'm like, okay, now I've lost the ball. That's me. Now, the Judkins fumble, that's a fumble. Sorry, but that is a fumble. He catches it, and he's got it. And now with his left foot, he plants it and starts to cut and turn upfield, and he got hit.
I think the reasoning is he doesn't complete the cut, so he never completed a football move. I'm not agreeing. I'm just...
Yeah, I looked at that and went, what the heck? He caught it. I'm done. I'm not even remotely juggling it. Now I'm turning upfield to run. Right? I've got my foot down, I turn, and I turn into a helmet, and it's a fumble. Okay, and remember, what's the call on the field?
Fumble.
The call on the field is a fumble, which means you have to have indisputable video evidence to overturn it. Like, I'm like, I don't know. Now, let's give credit where credit's due to what Ohio State did. I'm going to start with something very simple. You have this awesome crowd of 111,030, a record crowd. Okay? You got your left guard playing left tackle. What didn't Ohio State do the entire afternoon?
Jump.
Now, one time did they flinch. Zero. Zero. Never flinched. Never even came close to a false start. Not even close. And that is credit where credit's due. Credit's due is that touchdown drive they got where Ibuka caught the ball to make it 10-7. Good throw by Howard. Really well done. That really steadied the Ohio State ship. No getting around it. All right. And then when they got to the lead, they played with the lead. All right. And that drive at the end, to drain the clock, never giving Penn State a chance to get the ball back so they could tie or win it, you got to give credit where, you know, where credit's due to these guys. For Penn State, they're 6 yards away from winning at 27-20. 6 yards. Three at the end of the first half, and three in the fourth quarter. Well, in games like that, it's all those little things that add up.
To be honest, the most expensive roster in college football.
Yeah, right. No, it is. But you got to play him, you got to beat him.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And, you know, I mean, the expectation was to go out there, play it, and win it. And Penn State did enough things in that game that put themselves in a position to win the game. And first half, Wallace makes two terrific catches, including one to the 3 yard line, and then they have the interception. Galling, because you're going to take the lead going into halftime. Two, Warren makes the great run. They get it down to the 3 yard line. You're right on the doorstep where you can knock it in, and now you've got the option. You can either play to tie it or go for two. Right? That's how close you are to winning this game. Now you've got this game, Washington, which I'll get to in a moment. In the next half hour, I'll get to it. You are now in a four-game playoff to get to the playoff. So let's look at where they are. Tomorrow night will be interesting. Tomorrow night will be the first set of rankings that have any meaning at all. All the other rankings to this point mean zero, zip, zilch. I know there's six in one poll, seven in the other. That's fine. All right. But tomorrow night, the committee releases its first snapshot of the season. And remember, it's a snapshot. It is not a prediction of where teams are going to be. You're going to see both Oregon and Ohio State in the top four. Well, at the end of the year, only one team from the Big Ten is going to get a bye. Okay? So they're just going to do the snapshot right out of the gate tomorrow. That's the beginning of it. You're going to have, there's a group of schools right now that are in the undefeated pool. It's narrow. Miami, Oregon, right? So it's very small. If you're in the one-loss pool and you're in the SEC or the Big Ten, if you're in the SEC or Indiana, I apologize. I had to mention Indiana being undefeated too. Sorry, that's on me. Right? If you're in the Big Ten or the SEC and you have one loss, you are at this hour in great shape. If you are in the two-loss pool, it now puts judgment, committee judgment, into play as to whether you should be in or not. And three losses, you're out of it. That's why the Alabama-LSU game on Saturday night's an elimination game. By the way, the Purdue game in West Lafayette, 3:30 is the kick. Okay? It'll be on CBS. This game is 8 o'clock on Peacock. Are you kidding me?
I was going to say, so what you're telling me is Brad doesn't get to do the whiteout, but he has to go to West Lafayette for Purdue and Penn State?
The pay scale is the same.
Well, that's true. That might be pulling rank somehow, though.
We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewer's Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, suit, RV. Maybe not suit insurance. But doesn't the Valley feel like they need that?
I don't know. This last 6 weeks, he's kind of been incognito. I think they think they're safe. But he'll be back.
I'd like to point out the last 6 weeks have brought with them two key words, inner peace. That will be broken tomorrow when Matt Catrillo's on the show, who's been teaching his sons to cover first base all week. I'm going to opt out of my contract so I can get $36 million more at the end. I'd give you $35 million and give you a bonus of $1 million to $36 million if you can cover first base for the entire season. That's what I'd do. Purdy Insurance will save you money. And Purdy Insurance will make sure you're fully insured. Great people, great pros. All at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Washington wants me on their pregame show. They want to record it. I'm going to think about this. I'm going to do it. It's just the times that they put out there make me think. We can have the suit fill in. He could do that. God, what's wrong with the Penn State guy?
He's a different octave than you. I think that would give it away.
I'm telling you, this Peacock thing where streaming bothers me. What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Well, because I can only imagine that and him saying that, so.
Streaming.
The thing is you'd have to agree with him.
Well, it bothers me.
I know.
I've done this 1,000 times, so for a couple yah-yahs, we'll make it 1,001, okay? And so here we go. What bothers me about the streaming component is this. People who are already paying for, whether it's Hulu or cable, you know, whatever it may be, they're now asking you to pay more to watch a game for the fans of Washington, the fans of Penn State, or somebody who just loves college football and wants to see the game. You're taking the white out and you're relegating it to streaming? Really? The entire idea to me in media, and somebody who's been in media for 45 years, is to maximize your audience. This doesn't do that. This doesn't do that at all. If anything, it cuts off millions of people that might be watching it. Is that what you want? I don't know. It's a bothersome part to me that they would do this. I expected it would either be CBS, and I expected it to be, if not CBS, then Fox or Fox Sports 1 at 8. I never expected Peacock. Never. When it came down, I was like, what the heck are they doing here?
I wonder if it's partially, you know, the largest alumni fan base in the country, you know, draw, you know, get more subscriptions. I'm sure that's what they're thinking, but.
Well, NBC can't do the game because they're already committed to Notre Dame, Florida State. That game was put in prime time months ago.
Which they regret now, probably. Yeah, it's still Notre Dame.
Right. But Notre Dame usually has one primetime game on NBC. This is it. And they thought Florida State was going to be a great pick, which I understand. I mean, I got it. But that's why they don't have it. But you can't keep forcing people to do something. In other words, let's take two games in particular. Penn State's playing USC. CBS is carrying the game. CBS also put the game on Paramount Plus. Great. What does that do? It maximizes your audience. People who just have streaming services and have Paramount as one of them, they can watch the game. If you're over the air or cable or your whatever provider you have as CBS, you can watch the game. Okay. When Penn State played Wisconsin, it was on NBC and Peacock. Same story. If you have cable or your provider with NBC or you have over the air, you can watch the game. And if you have Peacock, because you've decided to go the streaming route, you can get it as well. That maximizes the audience. Okay? Cutting off your nose to spite your face is no way to run a media company when you're just forcing people to pay more money to see it. I mean, that's just, you know, that's my opinion. Others may disagree with me.
I still have it from that darn wild card football game.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Oh, I know. I mean, that's... I don't understand the prevailing wisdom over it. I think that... And here's one of the issues, too, when it comes to streaming, just from a business model. It's losing tens of millions of dollars for networks. I mean, Disney's losing tens of millions. I mean, CBS has lost tens of millions. NBC's lost tens of millions of dollars over and over. I'm talking every quarter they're losing tens of millions of dollars.
I was going to say, CBS is begging somebody to take Paramount off their hands.
Right. And that should tell you something and tell them something, that people are not buying into it the way they thought they would. Yes, have cable. Cut the cord. Well, if you look at it, yes, has there been a decline? No question. But it hasn't. But cable hasn't gone off the cliff either. And the idea of cutting cords and going streaming, by the way, has not taken off the way they thought it was going to be. Like, okay. I mean, so the whiteout gets relegated to streaming. Now, it's part of the agreement. They're allowed to do it. So let's not pretend that, you know. I mean, they're allowed to do it. It's part of the agreement. But that doesn't mean it's... It doesn't mean I think it's fair to the fans that can't make the game for whatever reason. I just don't think... I don't think it's fair. Yeah. And by the way, if you want to watch it because you can't make it to the game, you have to buy it. What? You're already paying for cable. You're already paying for your whatever your provider service happens to be. You're already paying. Now you got to pay more? Yeah. I got a real issue with it. Just don't think it's fair to the fans who are the only reason that you wanted the Big Ten contract, NBC, is because the Big Ten has great fans. Who are willing to watch. Ah, well. So I've had my rant. We're done. I thought it was a focused and not out of control rant.
I give it an A.
Yeah. But I'm fighting for the fans here.
Yeah.
Because I'm at the game no matter what. It doesn't matter to me. And let's face it, no offense to Peacock, but the radio audience isn't going to go up. Right?
It is.
let's pretend like for radio, for us on radio, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a positive for us, but that's not how I look at things. Right? You'll listen to us whether you want to or not. People turn down the sound and do it with us all the time. We got that. We understand that. But I want people to be able to see it and not have to keep shelling out money. Now, there are some people, for example, that got Peacock for the Olympics and then forgot to take it off their cable? Yeah. Oh, I still have it. Great. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I watched synchronized swimming. Oh, great. Good for you. So there will be some people that accidentally still have it.
Or again, somebody didn't cancel it from the wild card game.
Yeah, you may have you know what? You may have some people like that as well that finally are sitting back going, oh, you know what, son of a gun, I do still have that, don't I? Like, oh, great. Yeah. And then somebody will put out a press release. Oh, and you look at and every time you look at it, there's zero perspective. That was always my favorite. Remember I told you about the wild card game between Kansas City and Miami? I said they'll put out a press release saying it's a record number. I said, and what you and I are going to do is we're going to take the number of the other games and figure out how many people didn't stream.
They ended up with 60 million for the NFC or the AFC Championship game, 55 million, something like that?
Yeah, but what I decided to do is to take the other games in that round. Well, if you take the other games and the average of the games in that round, they shut out between 16 and 19 million viewers. How about that?
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I will the AFC and NFC championship games to me are a different casual fan level, like who's going to the Super Bowl, as opposed to a cluster of four games in a weekend. Well, so we'll compare this to the rest of the cluster in the weekend. They lost about 16 to 19 million viewers and claimed it was a success. Because we put out a cleverly worded press release. Ugh. Ah. Cleverly worded press releases, and this is not a knock on those who write them, it's their job. So please, I'm not knocking them. But those are just a bunch of gobbledygook. If you have half a brain, you sit down and go, oh, wait. Like the comparison between the other games and that game, you and I did in like, I don't know, 35 seconds. It's not difficult. It's not difficult.
It's not, but it's also not something they want known either.
Oh, of course not. That's why they put out the press release. Hey, it's a great, it's incredible. Yeah, you're sitting there going, what about the other 15 to 18 million? Oh, boy. 111,030 on Saturday. They were phenomenal. Great, 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 great atmosphere. And again, credit where credit's due to Ohio State. Not one time did they flinch. Not one time did the crowd get them to move. Got to give them credit. So, noon game like that. Place was juiced and alive. It was really cool. And people were were in their seats at kickoff. That place was not still filling up at kickoff. Very, very impressed by that. Now you got the white out. So, here we go.
Kurt Herbstreit had a very cool picture on X when he flew out to go to, he went to Florida, Georgia, right?
Yes, he did, down
of
Jacksonville.
Of a overhead shot of they flew over Beaver Stadium, and one, it was a great shot, and two, you could tell it was packed.
Yeah, it was. It was absolutely packed, and that's great. It's just a real tribute to the great Penn State fans that were at the game, and you know, there were some Ohio State fans. But you know what I found interesting? Over the years, I've seen people, you know, because obviously they're wearing scarlet, so it stands out. The number of people that are Ohio State fans that were sitting down in the rows below us were fewer than ever. But again, it was not a be-all, end-all game. But now you want to make sure you keep your spot. You do not want to get into the opinion pool, which is two losses. You're in the one-loss pool. You are securely in. Now you're fighting for home field. So you got to start with Washington, which is a very good team. Rodgers is a good quarterback. They played great at home. I mean, they have not lost a game at home. Very good quarterback. Coleman is a... Jack and I have, like, for weeks now, been talking about Coleman. Like, this guy runs hard. This guy is... He means business. He's a good player. I think Boston's a really good wideout. I think Latu, the tight end's very good. And watch Bruner on defense. My 42. Oh, what a player. He's the latest in a long line of Bruners to play at Washington. He really is good. Right? Very impressive. And they came up with a goal line stand in the waning seconds to hold off USC. USC was on the verge of winning the game. And they came up with a goal line stand to win it. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. More in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Yeah. So, Washington is a good team. Are they a great team? I'm saying a great team, but they're a good team. They are a good team. I know we're going to have Tony on the show Thursday.
Yep, to open.
Yeah, and hopefully I'm back by then. I've got a wonderful week. Listen to this. I had committed about a month and a half ago to speak to the Village at Penn State on Tuesday. Now it's 10:30 in the morning, so tomorrow it's no big deal. Okay. All right. We got a quarterback club on Wednesday. They decided they wanted to put a hoops club brunch on Thursday. I'm like, what? What are we doing here? I'll be back.
I was going to say, at least it's brunch and not lunch like the football one, right? Or is it football one?
It's the same thing.
Oh,
it starts at noon at the Jordan Center. All right. So, I'm going to tell them about 12:50. I got to go. So, I got a little more leeway, I think, there. I was like, oh, not this week. Only because of the Village thing. The Village thing had not been there, and I had not committed to that 6 weeks ago. I wouldn't have thought twice. Well, all right, that's two things 1 week. But now I got one each day for 3 days in a row. I'm like, oh, darn it. Oh. It's like, okay. And it's not the issue of doing it. It's the running around to do it. You know what I mean? I got to get out of here. I got to get back. I got to do the show. You know what I mean? It's the sprint from wherever I am to get here. It's like, I don't feel like sprinting today. I just casually walk in and go, hey, how's everybody doing?
You need a little mini helicopter.
Yeah, something like that. It's like, and you're trying to accommodate everybody because, they're asking you for a reason. I got it. So I understand that. So you try not to say no to people. Got a game tonight, got a game Friday. Then I got football on Saturday.
At least being at 8 o'clock, you get to sleep in a little bit, right?
Yeah, but it's November 9th. I would like to see the game. To me, a half hour does make a difference, like 7:30. I don't understand why the 8 o'clock thing. I don't get that.
It's Peacock. They could probably start at any time they wanted.
You got that right. It's not going to affect the audience.
That and it's daylight savings time. You could start at 6 and still get the full effect of the light out in the dark.
Okay, now, very quickly, I will say this. One more time, James did not turn in the taunting call to the Big Ten. He said it would not have been worth doing.